Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. We'll kind of sort of see how things got started. Down in verse 20, Genesis 2 and verse 20, the man gave names to all the cattle and to all the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. That word suitable, what does that bring to your mind? Suitable. If it's what I need, then that's what I get. It's suitable for me. All right, the same sort of thought here is found here. So Adam needed a helper suitable for him. He needed a helper, you know. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which had been taken from the man, and brought her to the man. And they said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother," which is a very interesting concept to me, because Adam, his father was the Lord God. And the woman, her mother or her father would have been the Lord God. They didn't have moms and dads like we have moms and dads. And so how does Adam know about this? But nonetheless, his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall be called one flesh. Now, as you know, things didn't go exactly perfectly in the garden. Adam and Eve got in trouble with eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which God had specifically said, don't do that. But that's what they did. And so there was going to be retribution for this. If you look down in Genesis chapter 3, please. Genesis chapter 3. Beginning in verse, 16. Genesis 3 and verse 16. To the woman, he said, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children, yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." Now that thought that says that your desire shall be for your husband is not necessarily the marriage desire, if you don't understand what I'm saying. It is the desire for her will above her husband's will. It goes on to say that your husband shall rule over you. All right. Then to Adam, he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree about which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken. For you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Now, the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all the living. So, ladies, you can count your progenitors all the way back up to Eve. Everybody is kin to Adam and Eve upon this earth. Even Noah was kin to Adam and Eve. Then the flood, and then people tried to repopulate the earth and did a poor job of it. So God confounded their languages, and then they all spent some time looking for somebody who could talk to them. And so that's how the nations got started. It's a very interesting read there, Genesis 10 and verse 11. Genesis 10 and 11. All right, so let's turn over to John, please. John chapter 16 and verse 21. John chapter 16 and verse 21. Here's a little follow-up on the information that we've just read in Genesis 2. John 16, 21 has this. Whenever a woman is in labor, she has pain, because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. And so moms have a super important place in this world. Ladies produce children. And so the earth populates itself, and you get the opportunity as parents to influence your child in a way that he or she should be influenced. And for the world, that is going to be a good thing because we are Christians and we want to influence the world to be Christians. But you can imagine this, and if you're a male, you can think about this and remember this. If mom gave you birth, then there was very little that you could get away with as you were growing up, right? Mom seemed to know everything all at the same time. It's amazing. All right. So listen, that's very important. We want to understand that moms are indeed the point that God wants to make to us. Now, in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, we see the fact that women have a large role in the bringing up and education of their children. Let's turn over, please, to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, please. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. Paul is saying to Timothy, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that is in you as well." So what did Timothy know? What did he learn from his grandmother and his mother? Well, he learned that there was this thing called the Old Testament, and that God had dealings with the Hebrews, the Israelites, and from the Israelites would come the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And during the 30s, the very first century, Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and yet he was put to death as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. Now that sacrifice was lifted up to God as, here's a big Bible word, propitiation and appeasement, if you will, of God's wrath against sinners. So then, Jesus Christ is very, very important. And that's what Timothy had understood. His mother and his grandmother taught him well. All right, so the sincere faith, that's what that is. The things that I've just been talking about in a nutshell, this is a sincere faith. It is the faith. And not only is it the faith, it is sincere. And so what Timothy got was the sincerity from his mom and his sincerity from his grandmother, and it settled down in his own spirit, and he became a very sincere follower of God and of Jesus Christ. And thereby, as a follower of Jesus Christ, his soul will go to heaven after he passes. Now, if he didn't do that, if he didn't have a sincere faith, if he had no faith at all, there would be another place for people who are unbelievers and people who do not act according to God's word. And that place is indeed hell. But we want to understand what a great deal of importance that moms have in the influence of their children's lives. You know, it's been said several times in the Bible, Old and New Testament, that the father is responsible. The father is responsible for getting his children educated in the ways of God. 99% of the time, that responsibility falls on the mom. That's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing for dad either. His job is to ensure that it gets done. And if mom communicates better than dad, well, then that's fine. Mom can do that. Dads can do that too, by the way. But I'm just saying that practicality in our situation here in this country is that moms do the most of the teaching. Well, it doesn't have to be true. That's just a generality. All right. So as we go along, then, we have to understand that good things come from moms. Moms introduce us to milk and cookies. They introduce us to a good breakfast. They introduce us to coffee at about age 5. And they introduce us into good meals, lunch, and supper. And they introduce us into our teen years And as we begin dating and exploring the world, our moms guide us, even though you could be a male or a female. Moms know everything, I'm letting you know. So moms know all of this stuff, and they know how to communicate to their sons. Now look, son, here's what you're looking for in a mate. Here's what you're looking for somebody that you want to date. Here's what you want to look for if you're ever considering marriage. Think about these things. Moms also educate us. God says, don't do this. Don't get inebriated. Don't get drunk. Moms tell us, if you never take that first drink, you will never be a drunkard. You'll never be an alcoholic. Moms tell us tons of things. Moms even tell us, and just like the wives do to their dads, son, you're not going out dressed like that, are you? And so moms kind of sort of help you with your clothing choices. Moms are good for you in so many different ways. Moms stay in their sons' and daughters' lives for as long as they live. One young man said to his mom, "You know, Mom, you loved me ever since I came into the world, but I have loved you all my life." And that's the benefit of having a loving and wonderful, awesome mother. Well, let's go on to our third point this morning. You know, there is a time when it is our duty to take care of our moms. All of the young ladies that are here, those of you who have children, you will one day get infirm. And that means you won't be able to walk, you won't be able to handle things. There are going to be a lot of chronic illnesses that you're going to face, just like it is with guys. I'm not saying anything different. I'm just making this point for moms and women that there's going to be a time when you're going to need some help. You've given your entire life to helping your mom through all the different things that she's going through. And yet, down toward the end of life, there is a time that moms must be in our care. So let's take a look. Take a look at 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, please. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. Just back up a few chapters. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. And here's the thing. And it applies in so many different directions. That if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Well, I know that unbelievers are going to be sent to hell. That's what God says. That's what the Bible has to say. But how can you be worse than an unbeliever? What kind of punishment is reserved for those who do not care for and treat their family the way that they need to be treated? If you're not treating your family well, men, then you need to step up to the plate and make that happen. You need to discover. You need to get into the book and find out what dads do. They are to do this and this and this. And as it relates to the mom, they have relations for that too. And so all of those topics are covered in the scriptures. And guys, if you don't know what I'm talking about, then spend some time in the Bible. Make sure that you are able and doing the very best job that you can of providing for those in his own household. Now, it goes on to say that he needs to provide for those within his own household. Now, that does not necessarily mean, even though mom lives like the next city over, maybe 30 miles, that does not mean that his mom is not in his own household. It means he has a responsibility to that woman that gave him birth, and that he needs to make sure that his mom is being cared for. That's just plain scripture. We get that right here, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. So especially to those of his own household, you need to take care of your own. And that means extended family. That means brothers. That might mean sisters. That might mean children, nieces and nephews. Just think of a kind of a relationship that a man might have. And that's what God is saying that men ought to be doing. It's their responsibility to provide, give shelter, give food, give clothing, give the things that the family needs. That's his job. That's what he needs to do. So as our moms get older, as our dads get older, but especially since we're talking about moms, when our moms get older, guys, you need to step up to that plate and make sure that your mom is being cared for. But you know, that's exactly what Jesus did. Take a look with me in John chapter 19. Excuse me. John chapter 19, verse 25. Excuse me. John 19, 25. And this is the scene where Jesus is crucified and he's getting on toward his death. And he remembers. Now, remember, I hate to bring this stuff up, but it's just the truth. Nails, spikes are driven through his hands into the wood, both hands. Nails, spikes are driven into his feet. And so he has to support his weight on the weight of the foot, which is excruciatingly painful. And so he tries to stand up straight and just get a moment of air because his arms are being expanded and his lungs are filling with fluid, body fluid. But those kinds of things. But Jesus, I think this is amazing. Jesus is about to die. And he says, Mom, I need to take care of you. And so what does he say? In verse 25. Therefore, the soldiers did these three things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Now, when Jesus saw that his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple John took her into his own household. Jesus made plans for the care of his mother. Now, I don't want to get past through all of this stuff without taking a look at Proverbs 31, please. Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10. Proverbs 31 and verse 10. An excellent wife, who can find? For her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works it with her hands in delight. She is like a merchant ship, bringing her food from afar. She arises also while it is still night, and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good, and her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. And she extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet, very expensive dye back in those days. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is, excuse me, fine linen and purple. Purple is also very expensive. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. The teaching, say that's what the children learn? The teaching of kindness, they learn kindness from their mom. And then it goes on to say, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She takes care of what her husband provides and makes sure that the family has what they need, the children. Her children rise up and bless her. Now think about this, young folks. All the young ladies that are here, all the young guys that are here, if you would just listen for sure for just a moment, if you would quit marking on whatever paper that you have and just pay attention for just a moment. How many times have you gotten up and sometime during the day, say, Mom, I love you, and I want the very best for you. I love you, Mom. Thank you for taking care of me. Her husband also, he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. You know, I only covered just a little bit of what the Bible has to say about moms. There's more, a lot more. And we could have gone to any of those kinds of things, those verses, and had some discussion about that. But these I've taken out because I wanted to get these points across to everyone. Just how God considers important moms are. How important the family is, how important the children are, and what mom does for those children. And yet, in her last days, in her last age, our family, the children, takes care of their mom. Important stuff this morning. So let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. There was a time that God heard the cry of the people and he gave them salvation. He says that today I have heard you, and today is the day of salvation.